It is now 7:03. We'll call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission on March 14th. I'm going to take the roll now. Chairperson Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Roberts. Commissioner Vesey.
Here.
Commissioner, Student Commissioner Raitt. Commissioner Steerwalt.
Here.
We have 5 voting members present. We do have a quorum. Do we have anyone who wishes to make public comment? Yeah, you're on the agenda. All right. So next, we will adopt the minutes from the last 2 meetings. Beth did have a couple an edit, and then I caught a typo. So here is the updated minutes. The 2 changes are in red text. I not. Did it print in black and white? It was in section 7, the discussion about the thing, I believe it was the second sentence of the second paragraph. Beth had requested be changed, and then I caught just at the very end, the next meeting, I had still had February instead of March for the date of the next. And then I do not have printed copies of the January minutes, but all should have had a couple months to review them now. Cannon is joining us now.
Cannon.
Hey.
We were just about to adopt the minutes. There was a change that Beth had made to the last month's minutes. I did not get a chance to distribute it. I just printed out a couple copies very quick here in person, but it was just change to one sentence, and then I had caught a typo I had made in there. That was the only changes to the last.
No problem.
All right. Motion to approve the minutes from February 20th.
Motion to approve.
And we need to approve the
The previous one.
January 11th. I believe it can just be all on one vote.
Okay, so I'll let me modify my motion.
Unless you guys would like to take them as separate.
I'll modify my motion to approve the January and February commission.
Motion to approve.
Thanks, Susan.
January, February notes.
Any comments or questions about this? Beth, thank you for the modifications.
Sure.
We have a second.
Second.
Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts.
Yes.
And Commissioner Vesey. Voting yes, none voting no.
All right, lovely. Let's move on to the commissioner reports. See if anybody has anything to report out that's not on the agenda. AJ, we'll start with you. Any report?
Nothing to report.
Okay.
The only thing I want, 2 things I want to report. One is that the community garden registration opened up for the summer. It did not fill up quite as quickly as last year, so there's a possibility some people might get more than one plot. So post on that. And the other thing was just I was very surprised to receive in the mail the notice about the community aggregation so late in the game. So I don't know if you knew that they were still.
I've gotten several questions about that recently. They had reached out initially in December. I thought it was just to send out a mailer to potential new eligible accounts. It sounds like they sent it out to everyone except those who opted out the last time. So I have actually several emails I still need to get questions up until the
Okay, because the language of mine said if I didn't respond, I was in it, which I was really surprised about. But
it should have just been that if you didn't respond, you would be.
Yeah. But I haven't been enrolled. I was just surprised because I wasn't enrolled over the past whatever it was two and a half years. So
yeah,
everything looked official.
Opportunity to opt out.
Right.
Yeah. Again, I was. It sent off some questions to MC Squared. Updates tomorrow.
Okay. So Eric,
like a reboot of this whole community solar thing.
This is
aggregation.
Oh, you're talking about aggregation. That's causing, I think, a lot of confusion is because MC Squared runs both.
Yeah,
and there's people who are hit within the past couple of months or gotten emails regarding the community solar program.
Yeah, that's not helping at all.
And then this goes out, and it was supposed to go out, I believe, last Wednesday, and it sounds like it was just hitting mailboxes the last couple of days. So I've got no questions last week, and we're trying to be proactive, put stuff in the newsletter, but I've gotten probably eight or just in the past 2 days.
So, Eric, I don't know if this is one of the questions that you got, but I happened to be listening in to the village board meeting last night, and Katie Brennan received one of the letters, and she was confused because the letter said that the village was still getting, that community service, I forget what it was called, the fee or the contribution,
in there, and that was something they had sent the letter to Jeff Loster and I to review beforehand, and we had both just missed that part of it. We did send them back other edits and things to try and make it more clear, and it just completely missed that. And I think that was adopted, I believe the renewal, the extension was adopted shortly before I started. It took effect right after I started. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things I had not been fully up on.
Right. Well, so just to understand that we're not getting the contribution anymore, right? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah,
we gave that up to hold rates steady, right, on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe to keep the renewable energy credit.
To have the percent of,
And the other thing I was confused about, although they did mention it, was I am on community solar, and I was under the impression that you couldn't be on both, because they're also, they're also getting the net meter crediting from the community solar, but they do refer to it in the letters. So
yeah, and that was in their initial draft, and I did, clarify that with them, and just has no impact on the community.
All right, we'll continue with updates, and then we'll get to the Dark Skies Initiative status. Are next on the agenda. Shannon, anything on your end?
No, Shannon? nothing new here.
All right, thank you. Beth?
No, I don't have anything to report.
All right, Gary?
I got two quick things. One, as I promised last meeting, I did go to the sign up for the community solar. Yeah, that was very straightforward. But all you're signing up for is to get in hold or anything at such time as they have, they sent me a note back, such time as they have enough capacity, new capacity for the service area, then I would go through the comment on the complexity.
I'd be curious to see how long it takes you to go from waitlist to
they gave
production.
Me nothing back that said your number,
yeah,
number 4,000.
I don't think they know.
And again, it's by service area. And also, I will be attending the MMC Environmental Committee Zoom month on
I don't have.
All right, cool. And I have stuff on the agenda. So why don't we, David has been very kind to come in. Join us from the International Dark Skies Association to educate us on the opportunities with River Forest being a better steward of our skies. So David, thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. And thanks for David's security detail who came here just because it's River Forest and it's a sketchy neighborhood. So, so smart.
I really appreciate being invited. Something I just got into.
Sure. I got into it after I heard a couple of gentlemen from the Chicago chapter talk last December at Astronomy Association. I started the next out International Dark Sky. We're located in Tucson, so a lot of their efforts started there. Flagstaff is probably the best known dark sky city. They are the S and station for what to follow if you have the chance. We have a chapter in Chicago. There's many of us that are active to support the six Colorado counties. I'm one of the people. Lighting ordinances. I really thank my daughter and Beth for. I better hurry up. We're going to talk about light pollution. Said this is a picture of LA, I think, and really polluted, but I think we in Chicago. The first category of light pollution is sky glow. That is all the light that goes up instead of down. It's at least 50% of the light used on outdoor luminaries. Category. Glare is the second most important. You probably notice it most when you're driving, and oncoming traffic provides glare, but you can see it in lights. On it too high. If they're not shielded, they right in your eyes. Third category is called light trespass. This is when luminary from a neighboring owner can go into the next neighbor, and it's all kind of stuck. And usually, we're getting involved when there's some problems in the city. It wasn't such a large problem with exterior lights until the advent of the LED. And with the new LEDs, there's such greater opportunity to get such brighter light on the exteriors that when people remodel, they're generally putting in lighting for security or even lights on lantern lights that actually shine in neighbors' windows and neighbors' bedrooms. That's the category. There's a fourth category that we really call clutter. It's when there is so much light from competing owners of the light that they just kind of wash each other out, and it's just so much light you'll see that it's way more than needed, and it's just because there's different owners within a fixed area, and they're all lighting up. So you'll see street lights from the city, you'll see parking lot lights, and you'll see maybe a dealership right next door, and they're all flooding, and it's just... light pollution consequences, ecological impacts, about 70% of all animals are nocturnal, 5% of amphibians, all of the light at night. Altered their existence. Some are faring better than others, but they're all having to adapt due to us. Turtles, you've probably heard more about. Trying to protect the turtles where they do their breeding. The turtle hatches, historically, before artificial light, they used to go towards the sea because it was the brightest thing. That now artificial light beats out the light from the sea. Head the wrong direction, and then they die. Birds. So birds migrate twice a year. come through Chicago because we are close to the path they want to take. All the artificial light, they're actually brought towards us. We kill the most birds in America during migration. I think we're also close to the flight path that's want to go. The problem, besides just running into buildings, is that they go where there is no food. Generally, if they weren't blinded by the light, they would be going to the rural areas south. Trees, you may not have noticed, but trees are getting their own problem with artificial light. They will grow towards the artificial light, hold onto their leaves longer, but earlier. These are all disruptive to the natural habit that they had before artificial light. Impact usually is weaker trees. Energy waste is the easy category to understand. If you can go to the next page, this is dated. It's much higher now. This is only 3 years old, but with the advent of the LED lights, growth of waste has actually gone up much higher than in the past. And there are new reports that are on our website that talk about something in terms of $50 billion globally. So the number keeps going up. Each time they do a scientific study, they come up with numbers that are higher. The Energy Department actually is out of that data. And it's just from their definition of how much of the light that's produced outside is actually wasted. Try to account for that. They used to say it was 75%. Closer to 99% of light, and that's only because we now consider any light that is used when no one is there as waste. Talk about human health. You can go to the next page. We talk about melatonin. You guys have probably heard about circadian rhythm. It's disrupted inside the house when you have TVs on, computers on, and now they're telling you to use a darkened mode for your computer because of the blue light disrupting the normal melatonin cycle. It happens outside too. The American Medical Association issued their opinion on it in 2016. They now publish medical reports about artificial light at night, and they're essentially in the last 12 years, and that's all with the beginning of LED light transitions. Last year it was about 1,000 medical write-ups on artificial light, and this year, to date, there's already 500 posted. It has a huge effect, and really comes from the content of blue wavelength that is in the LED lights. So if you notice the bright white light, that's the blue wavelength, and that's really the cause of the disruption. Heritage of dark skies. Probably seen things like this. If you can go to the next page, it was inspiration. If you think about Van Gogh with his Starry Night, everybody could just go outside and look at the stars, relax, come in, go to sleep. It's okay. If you go to one before that, next one. When you look at this glare, the point of this picture is, with the glare, you can't see what's in the shadows. Really important. Brighter LED lights, it's harder. It creates dark shadows everywhere. If you can go to the next page, you'll see that when you shade out the glare from that light, suddenly there's a person in the picture. Point is, if you use softer lighting, amber lighting, if you use shielded lighting, you'll always be able to see the people, and it creates a lot less shadows. This is, you can go through it. In the 50s, if you can stop this at all, maybe not. is actually, then I'll just walk through it. It's four phases from the 50s to 2025, where it actually shows you the expansion of artificial light at night and really the encroachment of urbanization. Looks like by 2025, there's very little left. Our history in IDA since the 80s has been to try to protect what was dark. It started by protecting large, dark areas, whether it's in Hawaii or in Colorado or in Arizona. The observatories. The problem with that was the encroachment from urbanization. Now a lot of us in the urban dark sky group are doing light pollution. The best thing that we have for us is that the technology is there to be able to do it. So it's a big job. It looks pretty daunting, but that's why we all do it, to try to bring back some of the darkness without turning off all the lights. So if you wanted to measure your own light, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can get light meter. You can look up at night. You can have one for the town. They're $130, or there are free apps. You can use your iPhone app. Set a dark with your phone, then you point it up, it tells you how. It's SQM or it's in Bortle. Usually SQM. So what the astronomers use, the sliding scale, and it's pretty easy to convert. You can go right on the internet and be able to see where you are. I've done a couple when I come visiting, and say that between River Forest and Oak Park, you're probably the brightest in Chicago. You're even slightly brighter than downtown Chicago, and I don't know exactly why that is. Kind of interesting. So, it's on a puzzle. Next slide. Right now, out of 10 people can see the Milky Way, and 99% of U.S. and Europe eyes. The one thing I'll tell you is Europe's more polluted than we are. Gaining on them. We had just a lot more land area. So, but like I said before, we can make a difference. As you've seen the lights, When you aim the light down, and on the street lights, there are shielded lights. There's also something called full cutoff. Full cutoff is a design where most of the light will go, 80% of the light will go down where you want it, and 20% might hang around the horizontal. Still, it's not aiming up. Most of the old globe lights in place cast light everywhere. You look on the left, this is a fire department, I believe, and that's got lights that are unshielded. The one on the right, this is you look at Kelvin, this is the common language they use for brightness. Now when you see it in stores, those or Home Depot, you'll see that most of the shelf is with bright light. That's because that's where the market went. Now we will convince you that inside your house, you generally should have 2,700 Kelvin lighting. It's better, better to go to bed. You may want to use on your cosmetic lights or on your shop lights something brighter, but you don't need it. Correlated color temperature of the lights, starting with 6,500, the blue wavelength content is about 30 to 40%, and then it slides down at 1,000 Kelvin. There's less, but maybe still. down to 2200 Kelvin, which might be a bulb that would not attract a moth or a lightning bug. That would have maybe 5 to 10. One that I'm trying to convince most of the rest is narrow band amber, which would have no. So it looks more like the old high-pressure sodium lights or low-pressure sodium lights that we had, which were always yellow in color. This is just the density of what comes off when it's not shielded. And lighting ordinances to keep it dark. A lot of towns and cities are doing lighting ordinances someday, and there's a lot of different ways to tackle it. It depends on where you are. Some towns that want to be dark sky communities will cover something completely. Some towns that want to protect what they have will usually go after new construction or modification of existing. And glare. Oh, we're working on and this deal, it's generally pretty good. Pretty good source used for compliance with either the idea of shielding. I think the website that we have, Dark Sky, though, actually gives a lot of resources. They updated it last fall. And types, and manufacturers and locations, whether you're talking about ghost lights or street lights or lanterns, really a broad sampling available to people. Very helpful. And we're here to do two things mainly, to educate and to help with policy, and doing our best. We have to go faster because really the LED transition is really moving quite rapidly. There is so much money to be saved at the city, really trying to convert rapid pace. I can tell you that some of the early adapters have already changed out their lighting. Los Angeles, Toronto, DC. They went with what was available back in 2010, 2012. Found it too harsh. They had either a lot of glare, they had a lot of residential complaints, and they've already switched to warmer lighting. The problem is, they move down that scale of warmer lighting, they're probably still going to have days where they realize maybe it's still too bright, still much too bright. Pittsburgh, just in 2021, with the mayor at that time and somebody from I created an entire ordinance. They had the intent of replacing all of their lighting and becoming the first dark sky city. But that mayor lost his reelection, and they've got an ordinance, and they're waiting for read about them. They did quite a lot of things. Mine is at Carnegie Mellon and non-municipal things. So the priorities come with the city. Page County is 1 million people. I'd really like to be able to say that one day we've done this. And for global, I don't even know if this is a good representation. We have about 80 countries that represent activities that we're today. Talk to a few people as we have our meetings that cross different time zones around the world, and of course Europe, Canada, and New Zealand just the other day. We all have the same issue, and we're all trying to do the New Zealand's trying to become the first country. First destination just for that fact that it's dark. One day that we can all see the milk in our backyards right here like we did, well, some of us did when we were. Really appreciate it. Community. Hope I didn't take too much time. If you have any questions.
My first of all, this was great. Thank you so much. Can we get that deck? Because that would be.
Of course.
I included it in the email.
Perfect. What did Wheaton have to go through? What was kind of the process to get to at least knocking off trespass and glare?
So they Wheaton started with the LED conversions way before the residential issues came up, but there were actually some complaints that were filed, which actually got about how they wanted to reword. It took them quite a while. We 6 months after the first town meeting, we actually did a light study, and Ken Walczak, who's on our team, and he's also a board member, works at Adler, and he came out and gave the light study on some of the areas that they were concerned about. Zoning, the ordinance really talks about how much light can flow from the property line and how high up off the ground and things like that. He tried to give them some ideas of building use of what kind of lumens to use. And really, people write them a little bit differently just based on where they are and what everybody can agree to. So they went after all new construction. They said all new construction has to be compliant. That was their one page. Then they said, if anybody complains about existing lighting, then you fall into this category as well. So if people complain about what you've done, and then when you modify, Hampton Hills, which is a little village that pulled them, that made themselves a village west of St. Charles, they were always dark sky, and they saw that the construction started coming and created their ordinance, any new construction. That they were going to try to change some of the existing, that's much more difficult. Some towns that have everybody in agreement on what they want to do are actually able to go a little bit further because they can get the commercial people and the existing, because there is some transition costs unless you're doing it in line with LED conversions. So LED's given everybody the opportunity because you can save money. Just the conversion from high-pressure sodium to LED, if you go for the same brightness, can save you about 50% of your electric costs. If you put in dimming controls or if you put in sensors, you can save 75 to 90% what you used to pay for that lighting. So if you catch it when they're making the transition and then you tell them, want yellow lighting so I don't have circadian rhythm problems or any of the other things from brighter lights, you put in shielded lighting and then you use dimmer control, get the payback between 4 and 5 years. Also, you get funded to some degree, and I'm not exactly sure, from Commonwealth Edison for the transition. So transition is everything. You can get commercial folks involved at the same time, they can save money too. So saving money kind of drives everybody to do whatever it is then that you want to do. If you get the timing right. Pittsburgh was able to change their mind just because of the will of all the parties involved. They had the university, they had news, they had the city, they had the mayor. They were aligned with everybody that wanted to do action. And give articles to whoever wants to receive them that were written from all the cities that already have switched out what they did when they were chapters. Articles about rules. Generally, we'll tell people that trying to replace the security lighting that the commercial district puts in with motion detection, shielded lighting, and it's only for time because a little bit in the criminal write-ups that they do that I've got a lot of data for anybody who wants to receive it, including this video that I would pass along to somebody that has power because it's a great explanation.
It would be great to get, you know, whatever resources you have, and whoever wants to see them can see them. Is there any other questions from the commission?
I had a question on the, you mentioned the color of the light. What was the benefit, I guess, of being, I guess not necessarily to humans,
warmer?
But yeah, to be warmer if you have like an exterior light?
So remember the reference for bug lights in the past? Bug lights don't attract bugs, but they're amber. So the wavelength of the amber light generally doesn't attract animals. It also doesn't attract turtles. So that that warm light is not a problem for any of the animals. Some would tell you that it's better to have no light at all for animals that are not. But if you're not attracting the moths, the nighttime lightning bugs, and the color. But also, because it doesn't have blue light, which is really causes the sky to go blue, and finding out it's disrupting as metabolisms for us, it probably has similar effects on animals. They have a lot more variety available today than they did 12 years ago. There are people now that are coming. That the online offerings are much. The lights outside on your land. I was able to find some at schools and at home. They're called vintage now. When you go into, you'll see that these lights that used to be the standard for us are now called marked accordingly.
How quickly that changed.
I wanted to share that several years back, I spent some time in the Anza Borrego Desert in this town that had a total lights off at 9 o'clock, and it was just the coolest thing because the lights went out and it was like someone switched on the stars, you know, all of a sudden the sky is right there, but you know, seeing the Milky Way and everything now. So it is a very cool thing. I think it's much more complicated to think through in a more of an urban setting, but it certainly is something to aspire to.
Ann Arbor put in something to try to predict. So when they work on the ordinances and they've got, dealerships would be the toughest. But if you've got a dealership that closes at 9, usually in their ordinance saying, close, you will change. So dealers that have amber, they will dim them down hours. If it's a commercial district where nobody's present, you don't have to worry about safety. They'll just turn off. Get somewhat of that effect, but I know they're much better out west because some towns are using it as a tourism growth, which I think in Europe, Denmark has several towns. So they've converted the whole town to like an amber, and the outdoor restaurants actually see a business because it's a destination now. So you sit outside, you watch the stars. Now we see 40 here, but the 300, that would be amazing, right? And nice to be outside at night. Up instead of.
Dave, are there some remedial things we can do besides, you know, obviously talked about which changing bulbs, using different bulbs, some things that people can.
So I'll be talking at the Naperville Earth Day, and if everybody can go and pick out the warm bulb they used to have instead of the bright white ones that they show you need today, you can do better. Anytime you can get a light that's called a bug light, around 2,000 Kelvin or 2,200 Kelvin is going to be fantastic. At my house, I have 2,200 Kelvin. I don't leave them on very long, but when we're out, I'll generally. That'll do the trick. You can get shielded lighting. Whenever you change your lanterns, if you try to find shielded lighting, that's the next step. But the first one is really the temperature of the light itself and then how long you leave it on. I tell everyone that for your own home security, like they do in Houston, they recommend thorny bushes under windows, no overgrowth around windows, no glare in your lights in front of the house so they can see your address, and then motion detection instead of on all night or dusk to dawn type lighting. There's a lot of things available at pretty good for ring doorbells and motion detection, cam lights in the back, and like alarming them. In the video, if anybody wants it, you'll see that some towns that have adopted the motion detection for their commercial areas and their streets, police will actually see if the light goes on that they need to go drive by. Know that something's different. It happens to go on at 1 in the morning.
Are there questions from the commission? Dr. Shannon, anything?
I just want to say thank you to David, and I don't want to take too much more time on the agenda, but I would be interested to hear from Seth maybe at a future meeting about where the village stands with its own light conversion, because I feel like the village has probably converted a lot of streetlights and things to LED already, but I'm not sure. So it would be interesting to hear at a future meeting.
Yeah, no, offhand, a lot of the streetlights have been converted to LED. This room and the exterior here at Village Hall have already been converted. The second floor was sort of in the capital improvements of lighting conversion for the coming year. I believe most of the external stuff has already been converted.
We have that challenge of almost no new construction. And so it's all conversion, and our streetlights are the old timey, you know, I mean, they are literally like the only place that protects the light from going is like down probably like old globes. So yeah, you know, like kind of Gary was alluding to, we're going to have to figure out ways to.
Light shields at one of the boards. Or maybe it was I was there for the capital improvement project overview, but one of the trustees had just asked Brian, our public works supervisor, about shields, like the directional shields for streetlights, and I guess there was 4 or 5 just randomly out the village, just like.
Be interesting to look at those and see how they perform. Yeah. I mean, I hate it. Like, my house is like lit up from the streetlights. Nukes everything.
So you have an LED street light?
So all the streetlights are LED, right?
I believe so.
They've all been converted. So they're all the old style, but they now have LEDs in them.
Oh, and they're shining everywhere.
So there's two types. So our main thoroughfares have, you know, more new style flat
those
LEDs.
Those I know for sure LED. Old style ones, and I know what you're talking about. Honestly, don't know. I will have to.
I thought they were converted, but if they're not,
they
that's an opportunity.
They might very well be.
So, as Beth said, let's put this on the agenda for another meeting where maybe we can do a little reconcept and kind of find out where we're at. Yep. That way we'll know what the opportunities are, or at least where the low-hanging fruit is.
I'd also, not to give you too much homework, but I'd be curious if the village even controls, like, eight thoroughfare, like I think Lake is, around. If we even...
Lake is.
Oh, yeah, Lake and... Harlem as well.
Thank you for all this. We appreciate you coming all the way from Wheaton.
My pleasure.
I believe that's on the Iowa border somewhere, right? So thanks for making the trek over here. we have your contact info, so it would be great to keep in touch. And thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And you guys definitely do not need to stick around. You're more than welcome to, but that is a very good idea. Can we all come? Duly noted. I think we heard that through the microphone. He is a River Forest citizen, so. Agreed. Definitely agreed. All right, cool. Let's jump back into the agenda, guys. Communications.
Did we want to start with newsletters or with the website?
With the newsletters first.
All right. I've got newsletter stuff up. I had mostly been filling in stuff, and things got a little out of order after this last week. I have not submitted anything, but we were planning to have updated and have that be a weekly newsletter. I've not submitted anything yet. I need to make those updates once they are. Oh, yep. Sorry. So, yeah, as of right now, I not have anything for this week's newsletter. And then I know, Beth, you had reached out to get information on the bicycle exchange, so that one is...
Yeah, that's pending. I expected it to happen in April, but I haven't heard from the person who's organizing it. So, sorry, I don't have anything for you on that yet. I will reach out to her again this week.
And then, so does anyone have any thoughts, ideas for the coming weeks? We have two more for this month, and then two in April. That's including the monthly newsletter on.
Do we need something to clarify aggregation versus community?
So I put aggregation was the public works update in the last monthly thing. And as part of the website updates, I am going to be having a new aggregation page in the next day or two, just with some of the existing information that's in there. New sort of questions I've been receiving over the past.
So when that's done, then do we need something that points people to that web page to...
Well, the newsletter, well, you could refer people that call you, but also the newsletter could tell them to look there for more information.
Glad you're doing that. Thanks, Zach.
Have we done in the past, like, if you do compost, don't you usually compost sometime in...
You can email on that or
the delivery, the compost delivery.
I wonder if we could use that time as like a for
compost
in general.
You know what we're talking about, Seth?
I am not familiar with this. So
if you're on the Village Compost program, once a year you can actually receive compost. That's what he's talking about.
It's always been April. Not always, but it's last 2 years.
That was on
the email April 7th. I just figured that who may not have otherwise signed up might. I think you get it, right? It's not like they're like, needs your input before we give you the. Oh, they don't like make you contribute to the compost before you get the delivery. So if you sign up in April, I presume you would be eligible.
No.
Actually, not 100% sure how that works. You might, I mean, Jeff, it's definitely a good thing.
Certainly
to,
a question we could answer, right?
Yeah.
I agree, it's a good time to reach out.
It doesn't look like we had done anything with that last April. There was, it looks like, a May voting compost sign up. Which might be.
Yeah, I feel like Sarah had sort of said it was awkward to ask for new subscribers at the same time as you were rolling out the deliveries. I mean, Seth, you might want to check with LRS and see how they do that, just because maybe it can be a little tricky for the record keeping or something to get caught up, and you don't want to promise people they're going to get it and then have to deal with the fact that they didn't get onto LRS's list yet.
We just pencil in the compost delivery, find some information, and I can post that for next week's then. Beth, should I just move the bicycle exchange another week out?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wait for info.
I mean, AJ, I don't know, you know, I think it's Lindsay Silver who runs that at Roosevelt, isn't it? If you can nose around to hear if you hear anything about it. Or maybe it's run at Lincoln, but if you're able to find out anything about that bicycle exchange through your school contacts, that might be helpful.
I haven't
helpful.
Heard anything about the bicycle exchange yet, but I'll keep my ears open if I hear anything. Thanks. I'll let you guys know.
One that they've done at Lincoln the last few years, I think I know who's organizing that. Is that the one you were thinking of, Beth?
Yeah, I mean, it's Lindsay Silver, and I've reached out to her, and she's usually pretty organized, so I can only assume that it's not quite underway yet.
Okay.
You know, for the April monthly, I don't know, would it be interesting, and I'm not sure if David already left, but to essentially have kind of an educational piece summarizing some of the things that we learned about with the light pollution tonight? I mean, it seems like it's a little unclear exactly what the village can do or what individuals can do, but I think we all found it informative, and it might be an interesting monthly feature piece.
Yeah, and I think it would be maybe to, Gary had sort of asked this, is to sort of encourage individuals to use the lower Kelvin lighting for any outdoor lighting is what, you know, one of the big takeaways of what individuals can take as a sort of first step.
That's why I asked the question.
The IDA website might be a good resource.
I don't know a lot about lighting, but aren't there supposed to be some sustainability benefits to LED too? Like, there's benefits to both of them, right?
Sure. LEDs use a lot less energy for the same amount of light, so.
Yeah, so I was just wondering.
So it's kind of win-win. Lower, you know, the lower Kelvin is lower energy use, and LEDs versus traditional is from energy.
But he seemed anti-LED is what I picked up. Or is it, was
I think
it, a
it was
combination
more nuanced
of,
because of the conversion to LED,
yeah,
people are
bright
go,
lights,
they
using
go brighter.
Brighter lights.
Okay.
And,
yeah, that kind of came through too.
Yeah, it's more like, and I get what he's talking about. I mean, I can't do those bright lights. I think they're brutal. I'm all soft white, 2700 Kelvin. But like, if you go to Home Depot, it's like they're pushing the bright light, you know, which is the, I don't have this chart in front of me, but it's like the 4000 Kelvin.
I may
5,
or may not
Kelvin.
Have daylight light bulbs.
They're brutal.
Too bright in here, but
safety first.
Yeah, Ellie, good comment, though, because I was thinking the same thing. I feel like, unfortunately, this is, like, classic. Like, one, LEDs are, like, a great solution to solving, like, using lower energy for light bulbs, right? And they've created a new problem, it seems like, which is what happens with a lot of things, like plastic. But I caught the same thing.
Would anyone want to write about we're lighting for the April monthly, or?
I mean, would it be inappropriate to? There,
you would do it.
Would you recommend something if you were to his presentation and put a few things?
Yeah, I think it was just to Gary's point, making sure it's sort of more digestible for the average. Average reader, so to speak.
I can take that one, and I guess between the IDA website and everything else, there's probably good language on how to articulate it in a way that people can understand Kelvin in scientific scales. That's 4.7.
I'll send out that's when that'll publish. I'll send out the tomorrow.
Thank you.
What we had done here for the weeklies around.
Where do you actually find the weeklies?
So they are just like the monthly newsletters. So they're sent out via email if you sign up for them. They also are on the Village website. Let me see. So it's usually listed as like this, a special message from.
Or the one underneath that, March E-News, I think also.
That's the monthly one. So this one. Oh,
there
electronic waste signing, new student
there
commissioner.
There you are.
And just not to sort of overexert ourselves with these posts and really just if anybody does have any ideas for that one, I would need it if it's publishing on the 14th. Again, we have time right before our next meeting is when we need it. It would just be 100 words. So if anyone has any ideas that come up in the next, so I'll just plug this in as BD. Feel free to reach out to me then. Yeah, we can go from there.
Okay. You want to jump into web?
Yeah. One.
No,
second.
No worries. You gotta.
I gotta. Rejigger
your screen
my
here.
Screen here. Yeah. All right, so here is the draft web page. We had gone through this a little bit last month. There's still a couple sections that need to be edited. So here is what the new homepage will look like. Coming green events, we're just going to plug in with rotating events throughout the year, anything relevant for the coming season month. How to reduce your carbon footprint. I believe this is one of the ones we needed to edit down some. This fairly long switch to renewable resources page, and the electric aggregation program one, which I intend to bang into another subpage tomorrow, and then it had these shorter sections on rebates and savings programs, community solar, which we wanted these other two sections to be more. Top portion, I'd say, really still needs to be edited down, and then that community aggregation one I will edit down.
So, Jeff, I seem to recall that you were the first to take a pass at editing the web page with this energy section, and we didn't really have a very good idea of what we wanted to do. And if I recall correctly, that, you know, you sort of asked, like, how much should I edit it down? And I think now we have, like, some samples from Susan's section on the ecosystem and Gary's section on the water. And we're wondering if you thought you could look at those sections and kind of similarly distill these into something shorter.
Here's what Gary's water section looks like. And I just plugged in a couple of village initiatives at the bottom, but quick thing on ordering rain balers, quick thing on the Water Smart program, the sort of consumer end of monitoring your water bill, checking for leaks, knowing your water usage, and then just a handful of internal tools, guides at the top. And the green ecosystem one, I was able to get these pictures to wrap.
Yay.
Great. That's good.
Took me way too long to figure out.
It makes a difference, though. Just,
yeah, it looks awesome. Thanks.
And so just these, yeah, short 1-2 paragraph items. Forestry division for the end here.
Could you click on the regional goals? I need some changes. So I just want to see.
I have not incorporated it in here, so I will need to.
Okay, you have to. Yeah. That's what I wondered, if you had to move it over. Okay.
Yep.
But you did see it?
Yeah, that was going to be Planet Green.
That's a lot shorter now.
And I got the rest of these to all wrap. Hopefully a little bit cleaner. I tried to get them as close to the same size as possible for all the little logos. The C4 one in there as well.
Already such a huge improvement.
Then I believe waste page was pretty much set. I can't remember, somebody had mentioned maybe adding another thing for the reuse in last month's meeting, and I've not what it was, but I don't know if anyone had information there, but I need to incorporate the one thing for Planet Green to get that shortened, and I believe beyond that, carbon footprint page, big top section, and then the aggregation section that need to be edited down, and we are ready to go and can go to bed. Anybody have any more thoughts? Jeff, do you think you'd be able to take a pass at this section? I can sort of resend out the Google Doc link so you can just go in there and
I'm happy to edit it down some if you just make sure to show me where.
Perfect. Yeah, and it's basically just this copied into a Google Doc. I'll send it to you tomorrow morning.
When's the website expected to be put up, like, for everyone to see, or do we have a goal time? Or
I mean, yeah, as soon as we can, last few sections wrapped up.
I think we're there. We just
It looks like we've made good progress. You guys have made good progress.
Day and then get it, or I just but yeah, that is it for the website, I think, unless more input.
Hey, Seth, I have just one comment about what we want to call it overall. I think when I drafted this page with Sarah, kind of converted it to the idea of a guide to sustainable living, meaning like what are the things you can do to live sustainably. If everybody's comfortable with that, I would just say that on the Village homepage where you have all the different guides, right now it's called a guide to sustainability programs. And, you know, it's a small change and not the biggest deal, but we should list it the same way.
Are you talking about this link over here to the right-hand side?
No, I'm talking about like sort of the overall heading for the page. We're calling it a guide to sustainable living. If you go to the Village homepage, there's lots of guides that the Village has, and the one for sustainability is called A Guide to Sustainable Programs. So I would just say when we go live that you change that homepage thing, Seth, to also say A Guide to Sustainable Living.
Seth, any other feedback before we wrap this up?
No, just thanks to everybody, and Seth especially, and it's going to be exciting to see it up.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to everyone. As everybody knows, this has been a long road. We're the finish is in sight, so that's awesome. And what's going to be what we need to work on, like I don't want to rain on our parade here, is what we've done in the past is we've spent a lot of time on this. We've launched it, and then we've done about it, and it's gone out of date. And so from, you know, once we launch, we immediately need to start talking about a process, a methodology to where we make sure that it stays fresh and current. That will come next.
Yeah, and I think, you know, within the last couple months, we've all caught our feet with the newsletter flow, and I think just sort of that with just even monthly reviews of does anyone have any updated on the site, even if it's just like, oh, this would be a good thing to go in the upcoming events, or this would be a good picture to go with this program, just even little things.
Along those lines, the One Earth Film Festival has passed.
That is a yes.
Susan is starting the agenda item now, which is making sure this is up to date.
I have that and the Bicycle Exchange, and will be probably updated with Earth Day and Arbor Day.
Do you know which film River Forest sponsored? Did you hear the title?
I did not. I remember signing up for the sponsorship, and I think I had indicated like general interest in sort of the youth film submissions, but I don't remember. But
okay, let's keep rolling here. Thanks again, everybody, on all the progress with actually really both of these. The web as well as the newsletter. So it is already 8:10, so let's roll. Initiatives and goals. And I, you know, got caught up on the conversation from last time. So do you want to lead the, you want to kick us off on this?
Yeah, I was just wanting to set up what you guys wanted to focus on for this coming, but policy objectives would be the focus. That's really what I've got, and I know that Phyllis has touched base with you, has touched base with me as well about a number of items. So, yeah, just really wanted this to be member-led discussion on where to go, and then I can sort of help once and then going forward.
You know, I wasn't here for the last meeting, so I'm meeting behind on kind of what the beginnings of this rehash of this conversation has been. I know that Planet Green has made a huge amount of progress on, in our opinion, like, you know, and this is actually after talking with Lisa, you know, on kind of getting focused and really starting to kind of lead the way on on a lot of the initiatives. So one of my questions with this always for the commission is like, from a goal standpoint, you know, what is our benchmark? And then there's the usual conversation that, Susan, you always have a great perspective on, and I'm sure all the commissioners do on, then how do we focus that on what our initiatives are so that we can be going towards meeting the objectives of whatever our you know, our overall goal is, whatever our number is.
I just wanted to speak to your comment on Planet Green, since I'm the rep there and sit in on these conversations. So that was a program that ran from 2010 to 2020. So, you know, it's in the past. There are goals that were embedded in there that I think we could consider ourselves still trying to attain. But basically what happened within the structure of Planet Green was two different things. One is that the regional part has really shifted over to C4. So that's a much bigger, and you know, and I guess for me, I you know, we did have a presentation last week. I don't know that there are concrete goals. Maybe Seth sits in on these, so he knows more, but it seems more like it's a initiative to act together. I know they've been successful in getting some money, but I haven't seen specific goals coming
it's
out of
it. It's still
that.
Very much, I'd say, in the formative stages. Yeah, in terms of specific goals, there's been they've had some very highly specific sort of breakout groups. They're involved in the Greentown event and specifically the youth forum that is they're trying to organize for the Greentown event. Yep. And then the other thing I've seen come out of focus on electrification of lawn equipment, essentially, helping promote that and the transition to that. I know the Oak Park Park District has been very involved in that. They're sort of dive into what resources are available, whether it's for private landscape contractors or municipalities, park districts, what have you, to sort of encourage that conversion. You know, small thing they've been active on. The rest of it, I think, is still very much in the nation phase.
So that's very different than what, you know, the Planet Green sustainability plan was. And then in terms of Oak Park and River Forest, Oak Park just kind of took off and, you know, has a very comprehensive climate action plan right now that they worked really hard on. So I don't think we can lean on Planet Green as being our either our sustainability plan or our, you know, climate action plan at this point. We're kind of on our own to either act or not act.
So here's some of the feedback from, and then Shannon, if I have a question for you in this too, but based on some recent conversations with the trustees that are interested in this, Seth's been involved in these, and like based on just kind of the work we've done, you know, some of the ideas was like focusing our priorities on curbing greenhouse gas emissions in the village, electrification of the village, and effective communication to our residents in words and deed. So like three areas, and this is really just taking everything we've talked about and trying to like consolidate. And this is just ideas I'm throwing out there. In that effort, and Shannon, like the question in there is, can we confirm that the CMAP reporting of River Forest is good enough? Like, if you at all compared that to the work that you did?
I did very high level, but let me do it again before I say something, because it was a little, it's different than what I did. But it will be, I can take a detailed look at it again and determine if we can lean on it. My understanding there is a little bit, they had access to more data sources and things like that and did a lot more types of modeling, but likely, like they had more categories and things like that than me, but I can take that as an action item.
That would be awesome, Shannon. I mean, you know, you did yours, you know, with as many resources as you could get. I have no, like, I looked at the CMAP one and I have no idea, like, you're the expert in this, and so like that would be amazing if you could help us figure that out. Because if we could come to some kind of agreement on what our greenhouse gas emissions are, then we're kind of that's the baseline that we're off to the races on. So the kind of the other pieces of this, and I'm really just going off kind of the email where Lisa Gillis had basically summarized all these conversations, is the effort to get a lot of the village organizations like in line aligned, which is all the different municipalities, right? Because we have the village, we have the park district, and we have the township. And we've had multiple conversations about, we've tried and we really need to figure out a way to partner with the park district because there's so much opportunity with them and, within the facilities and green spaces that they manage. Schools, I mean, we're unique in that we don't have just D90, but we have Dominican and Concordia and St. Luke and St. Vincent and Grace Lutheran and, so that's kind of an area of collaboration. There's a lot of institutions, there's tennis club, there's, various kind of clubs and things that like we could bring on board. There's businesses, of course, then there's the residents. So it's, it's like potentially these three priorities. And then there's who we need to collaborate with really to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So obviously there's way more to it than that, but that was just kind of a framework for discussion. And we can send this out. It'll be in the notes, I imagine. We'll just put it in. And then maybe we can workshop this at the next meeting to really figure out, like, if we could get to a point where we have these priority areas. And Susan, this is riffing off kind of what you've been pushing for a while, too. Right, it's like, let's get focused, and then let's come up with a comprehensive plan to achieve that. And then figure out how we partner with all these organizations in the village to feel and consistent progress on this. Shannon, thanks in advance, because I know that's not easy work, but like what you've done already is better than anybody else has. That's going to be what we're going to have to go off of.
No problem. I'm nervous to look at this other data build up in detail. If I'm wrong, mine was probably, but that's okay. That's what it's all about. It's about learning. I had a quick question. This is all so great, and I'm really excited about it. And Susan, I was wondering, do you know, is the climate action plan for Oak Park available or public, or would they share it with us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's on their website. I'll find it and send you a link, or I can send it to I'll send it to everybody.
And it's actually linked in that draft website of the regional goals.
Oh, okay.
So it's there's just one line and then a hyperlink to it, but it's included in that.
But that's
draft
not.
Website.
But that's not live yet, right?
Not live yet.
Okay. Yeah, I can send that. But yes.
I'd also be curious on people's reactions to it, because it's within the sustainability community. I know there's a lot of different reactions to this, as there's always going to be. It's really comprehensive, and I'll leave it at that, and it'll be interesting to see what you guys think. You're not going to probably want to completely read every page of it, but like skim through it, stop when there's areas that seem interesting, and it'd be interesting to get everybody's reaction on it.
And one thing just for all of your awareness that may, and I place emphasis on may, be helpful, the county has program that was established through, I believe, ARPA funds, communities in developing climate resiliency planning. I did submit an application to it. I believe there were 24 communities that did, was what I see where it goes, but if it's, they'd be able to provide assistance. If we were selected, I would be sort of joining these monthly meetings with whoever they're working with on it, but they may, not sure where it's going to go, but it's something took a step towards.
There's other pieces of this that we'll put in the notes, but like enforcing the single-use plastic ban, like that's something we got to get on again. We we did nice work on that. We made progress, and then I'm not sure there's been a lot of follow up. We need to really. We've been getting great emails from former commissioners about the polyethylene bans that are starting to, you know, get momentum. You know, styrofoam bans, and I believe the state is working on one.
It, I believe, passed a committee. I'm not sure, Senate or the House, but there is a bill that's on second reading in its first. Third reading is when, like, it has to be. Supporting that, aside from if it were to pass and then go to committee and chamber, beyond, you know, flipping a witness slip in support of, anyone can do emails about this throughout the.
We should try to be on top of that though, so we can put out a And I guess maybe Julie will as well, but Julie Mueller.
Julie sent out a bunch of things on it already. I wonder if that's something we can. I'm not sure we can put that in the newsletter.
Yeah, that I'm not sure of, but I'm not really sure what steps, short of hiring a lobbyist to go down there and get involved in the bill negotiations and lobbying, that can be done. But yeah, I can provide you guys some more context as needed. I've previous job worked directly with legislative initiatives, so very comfortable tracking and monitoring.
Your jam, Seth.
Yeah.
Okay, so just, you know, from a time standpoint, it's 8:25. So, I mean, any kind of initial comments on that, we will set aside, you know, a chunk of next meeting to progress on really trying to hone in on where we are with this. Shannon, you don't need to have that done for next meeting. By any means, so don't feel pressured.
Okay, I'll do my best though. I need a good motivation. So it's good.
It's like reading a good book, Shannon. It's escape from reality.
I mean, I love to nerd out on this stuff. Don't get me started. So it's cool. I'll try to get it done.
We know this about you already.
That was something that you'll send before next meeting, or is that an email?
Okay. Sort of in my follow-up to this, I'll send out the links for – I'll send the Oak Park plan for everyone to see. Shannon, I'll send what I have of your previous plus the CMAP stuff. I will send the links to the Word doc for you, Jeff, to edit that last page. The schedule of the upcoming monthly newsletters, which just going to be change when we get information, and then your month, and then the rest I will just sort of plug in information. And then, yeah, I will have a summary of stuff that was provided to Eric and I and what we can build off of during next.
We'll send the link out, but Oak Park has an entire website for this. It's called sustainoakpark.com. That is literally like your entire climate website. It's wild. That was part of the initiative, is build an entire resident, you know, like a citizen portal to this. So it's any other kind of last comments on this? I know we rushed through it. That's other business we missed or that wasn't on the agenda that anybody. Next meeting is April 11th. And we're starting to get into spring break here, although our spring break for, I know, D9200 is not during that time. Let me know offline if that's somehow probable. We have a motion to adjourn. Second. Yeah, Gary to the rescue.
Great. Chairperson Simon?
Yes.
Commissioner Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon? Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey? It is 8:29 and we are adjourned.
Wow. Beth and Shannon, thanks for